Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan. Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're taking your thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Discussing the Predators and NHL free agency, the Predators signing Kevin Lankinen, a goaltender, yesterday to a one-year, $1.5 million contract. To, I would just presume, be the backup goalie to UC Saros this year. So that leaves them in an interesting spot in terms of what happens with Connor Ingram and the goaltender pipeline that right now looks like there's a bit of a logjam there at the moment. So an interesting move yesterday from David Poile and the Predators. Adam, I look around the league right now, there's been a lot of activity on the free agency front. The Red Wings, I think, have signed about 105 contracts so far. It's a little bit of an exaggeration there, but Steve Yzerman has been very busy. I guess the good news, if you're a Predators fan, is a lot of the activity has been in the Eastern Conference. So Detroit has been very active. Ottawa has been very active all offseason long. They've got Claude Giroux now in the fold there with the Senators as well. You know, Columbus, obviously, with the Eric Branson contract, and with Johnny Gaudreau coming in, you know, Nazem Kadri is still out there and has not made his decision yet. So there's still some more bigger dominoes to fall, but a lot of the quote-unquote winners of NHL free agency thus far have come in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. When you look at the biggest signing so far, of course, Johnny Gaudreau surprising everybody and signing in Columbus. That's a coup for them.
It's, by the way, that video of him in Calgary when they were in Columbus and the cannon going off.
Yes.
And he just got absolutely terrified in warm-ups, or I guess after the anthem went off.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He'll have to get used to that, especially if he has as many points as he did last season.
A lot of cannon firing.
Yeah. Ottawa has had a really strong offseason. They traded for Alex DeBrincat. They traded for Cam Talbot. They signed Claude Giroux. They've taken care of some of their own. I think they re-signed Josh Norris to an eight-year contract yesterday. Detroit, as you said, has been very busy. They signed David Perron. They signed Ben Chiarot. They signed Andrew Kopp. The Hurricanes, you know, made two big trades. They traded for Brent Burns and Max Pacioretty. Trying to think of like the big moves in the West. Can't really think of.
There haven't been a ton. Really, I don't think. Like,
you know, there haven't been a ton.
Calgary, obviously, you lose Gaudreau, your big guy,
right? In Vegas Gaudreau. Lost Pacioretty for nothing.
Yeah.
And trying to think of the other.
St. Louis lost Perron. Now they signed Robert Thomas, but they already had him. So
yeah.
A lot of them have been.
The Ducks got Ryan Strome from the Rangers.
It's a good move for the Ducks, but like in terms of the top teams in the West, there haven't been a lot. Now, you know, Colorado has retained Lehkonen, which I thought was a really good player for them in the playoffs. You know, we'll see what – there's starting to be, I guess, some buzz out there that maybe Kadri eventually ends up back in Colorado, which if he does, they're going to be really, really good again, obviously, next year. I think either way, they're going to be really good next year. But there's not been a ton of high-level stuff in terms of – the upper echelon Western Conference teams so far in free agency.
Yeah. And we were talking about this yesterday about, you know, if you're a Predators fan, you know, it's kind of a, I wouldn't say a sad existence, but it's not particularly exciting if the thing you're most excited about so far in free agency is that the teams that you would be competing with have gotten worse in some respects. You want your team to get better while other teams are getting worse. And you know, Vegas lost their top, one of their top scorers, and Calgary lost its top scorer, and you know, even San Jose, a team that is not really in contention right now, you know, lost, you know, they're one of their star players. And I guess that's a silver lining, I guess, that there haven't been too many huge, you know, seismic moves in the West that, you know, will change the power balance out there.
Well, the Central to me is interesting because you've got Kevin Fiala leaving Minnesota, going out to LA. You know, they've got the Parise and Suter contract that or buyout more specifically that they've got to worry about coming up to begin next year with Bill Guerin. You know, Cam Talbot got traded away. They re-signed Marc-Andre Fleury. So, I mean, they're still going to be a good team. St. Louis, I think, is still going to be good. Obviously, Colorado is going to be good. You know, Dallas has signed Mason Marchment. Looks like they're going to lose Klingberg. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the Stars. Can they get Jason Robertson signed to, you know, a deal that's not totally breaking the bank for them? Jake Ottinger as well. Like, they've got some interesting pieces that they've got to get figured out. And then there's Chicago and Arizona that are just going to be totally awful next
cheeks
year.
Cheeks are going to be cheeks.
They're going to be cheeks. I don't think there's any question about that. So the Central's in a little bit of an interesting spot right now. The Predators have basically done nothing so far in free agency. And, you know, you look around the rest of the division, it's in an interesting spot because St. Louis hasn't been able to do a whole lot in free agency just because of some of the their own guys that they've got to try to retain. Colorado's kind of in the same boat as well. So there's not been a ton of activity in the Central Division as a whole, which I guess you could view a couple of different ways if you're a Predators fan. You could think that that's good, that there's not really been teams getting dramatically better, or also maybe a missed opportunity for the Preds. While other teams are not getting dramatically better, the Preds, so far in free agency, haven't really done so either.
Yeah, I mean, I would be curious to hear from Predators fans that are feeling good about where the team is right now. And I know it's popular to pile on, you know, with the way things have been going over the past couple of years, but I'm sure there are some fans out there that have liked what they've seen so far. And we talked about this earlier in the week, that if you just take the moves that the Predators have made this offseason, the major moves, you know, re-signing Philip Forsberg, trading away Luke Cunningham, and acquiring Ryan McDonagh, those look pretty good. But, you know, overall, you know, it doesn't seem like they're that much better, or, you know, they're not that much better than they were last season on paper. So, I mean, I'm sure there are fans out there who like what they've seen so far, but I have to imagine that the vast majority are a bit, you know, disheartened by what they haven't seen so far.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, where now you look ahead if you're the Predators, and, you know, we've gone through the options of Miller and of Gus Nyquist and of Alex Killorn. I do wonder, like, if it ends up being a Gus Nyquist-level guy. So let's just say it's him or it's somebody in that mold. What do you think the reaction is from Predators fans if you get through this whole offseason and, like, Gustav Nyquist is your big top six upgrade?
I mean, I think Predators fans will be happy that they did something to address that position. So, like I said, because of how ineffective that second line was last season, which was mostly Elie Tolvanen, Ryan Johansson, and Luke Cunningham, I think adding someone like Nyquist, which, as we've said all week, would be represent an upgrade, though comparatively, you know, the line wasn't, you know, Nyquist on most teams would not necessarily be an upgrade on the second line. On this team, it would. So I think Predators fans would actually feel a little bit better. I mean, it wouldn't, like, no one's rushing out to buy a Gus Nyquist jersey.
You don't think so?
I mean, there are a lot of Michiganders, transplanted Michiganders here. You don't think Joe Rexroad would get a Gus Nyquist Predators jersey for one of his kids?
He might.
He needs a Nick Westbrook Aquina one
first. He's going to have to get the NWI jersey first. No question about it.
Nick Rexroad Aquina?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Or is it Nick Westbrook Rexroad?
Nick
Westbrook. I kind of like Nick Rexroad Aquina.
Because it has the same syllables. Yeah. Nick Rexroad Aquina.
That's kind of a tongue twister there.
Yeah, it is. But I kind of like it.
Hey, you know, Joe's been gone for so long, you know. You think Joe's okay?
I don't remember what he looks like. Yeah, I think he's fine.
You think Joe's okay?
I think he's probably doing
okay.
Okay.
I think some people in the text line this week were like,
"No, they were
legitimately
concerned
about Joe's fine. Well-being." He is fine. I would have loved to have heard. You're going to have to bring up the Jared Goff Ryan Tannehill conversation with him once he gets back.
Oh, I would love to.
I have to imagine he'll lose his mind over that.
I would say there's probably a pretty good chance. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators. We caught up with John Glennon yesterday from NHL.com to get his thoughts on the Predators and free agency and where they go from here. We'll have that conversation coming up for you next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Michelle Konezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning. We caught up with John Glennon from NHL.com to get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators and NHL free agency. Here was that conversation with John Glennon. Go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend John Glennon from NHL.com. Also covers the Titans for SI.com as well. Johnny, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are great.
Good.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, no moves of consequence yesterday for the Nashville Predators, John. How surprised were you that they were not more active on the opening day of free agency?
I would say a bit. You know, I think David Poile had certainly indicated there was interest in adding a forward, preferably a top six forward. There were some out there, but you know, I thought it was interesting just the other day, you know, kind of hearing David Poile sort of take a look ahead towards free agency. And despite the fact that he was, you know, kind of interested in maybe a top six guy, he also didn't sound like a guy who wanted to commit to a big multi-year deal with another player as well. And you know, so I wonder if that kind of limits your options a little bit, because certainly – you know, if you're a one of the top players in free agency right now, you know, and you're not an older player, you're probably looking for a big multi-year deal. So maybe that limited the options a little bit. Maybe he's looking for somebody that he can get to a shorter term contract. You know, maybe it's a 2 or a 3 year deal. So maybe you're looking a little older. Maybe there's still a few guys out there that are still available to the Preds.
John, what would you do? Is there a player that you would target that's left in free agency or perhaps on the trade market that you think would fit what David Poile is looking for?
Yeah, you know, and again, I know it was interesting to me to hear him kind of talk about the specifics, and it didn't sound like he wanted, like I said, a big multi-year deal. But, you know, maybe at the same time, if you can find a workable deal, I think there are some players, you know, like a Niederreiter, certainly from Carolina, you know, is a consistent 20-goal scorer going to add some grit and some nasty up front? I think, you know, that's somebody that you certainly have to kick the tires on. You know, Kadri, Nazem Kadri, is 32 years old, and you don't know necessarily what the next contract will be, but, you know, a terrific year last year, of course. I think you have to look there. I don't, you know, I saw Robbie's tweet the other day on Mr. Kessel.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, it's worth a look for Phil Kessel. You know, he's 34 years old. You know, the last season he was playing for an awful team, and he did not have a very good year at all, only 8 goals. But he's basically a professional goal scorer. So, you know, if you want to take a look at him still, despite the age, probably worth a look. And you know, Adam, you mentioned trade, too. You know, I was reading, certainly about Columbus and the Johnny Gaudreau signing. Maybe that opens up some players from Columbus. You know, they're going to have to get under the cap now. And, you know, maybe a player, say, like a Gustav Nyquist, you know, who the Preds have looked at least in the past, maybe he's the kind of guy who becomes available and the Preds look to add someone like him.
It's an interesting spot that they're in, John, because with McDonough coming in on defense, it's hard for me to imagine, not this season, but in 2023, it's difficult for me to imagine Carrier and Fabbro both on the roster at that time, because they both got expiring contracts at the end of this year. McDonough is going to be, you know, eating up $6.75 million, and I would assume that one of those two guys is not going to be in the top four this year. So if they're not going to be in the top four, how much money do you really want to pay a third pair of defensemen? So with that in mind, I do wonder, like, if trading one of those two guys, and probably more specifically Fabbro, if that could be on the table for the Predators this offseason.
Certainly a possibility. You know, I think I would agree with you too. If they did, you know, go in that direction, I would lean towards it more likely being Fabbro. You know, there's a sort of a sense that maybe he has kind of stalled in terms of progress a bit, you know, that there's still that upside, there's still that potential. You know, I think the Preds would like to see him reach, but, you know, it hasn't always shown itself consistently enough, whereas Alexander Carrier seems to be, you know, gradually moving up in terms of progression and his play. So, yeah, you know, I think that is certainly a possibility. It depends on what you've got, you know, coming up in the pipeline as well. But yeah, certainly when you've added Ryan McDonough, all of a sudden, you know, your defensive pairings, are looking so much better. And of course, you've also, signed Lauzon, for a longer term deal too. So your depth is much better and allows you probably to make one of those moves if you want.
John, before you came on, Robbie ranted about the backline supporters' list of demands. As our resident soccer hooligan, I'd be curious for your take on the backline's demands of the Nashville SC front office.
I thought it was a bold step by the supporters. I was intrigued by some of the demands/desires.
The discount at the bar, right? That was what you were intrigued by.
The number 4 one on there was certainly the most intriguing to me. It was basically like, and for goodness sakes, give us some discounted beer. You know, we're out here cheering our lungs out. How about a break at the bar? But you know, yeah, and then sort of the I think it was maybe the first one. It was like, you know, yeah, we're sort of demanding a quarterly meeting with the executives, yeah, including Ian Ayer, basically the CEO. I think if they can get something like that, I'd love to join the Nashville SC supporters, because as a media member, I'm sure a lot of us would like to get quarterly meetings with the CEO of our franchise as well. I clearly they have some desires, and maybe that's, you know, I think you have to be sensitive about that if you're Nashville SC and at least communicate with them. But if they got all those demands they're looking for, hey, good luck to them, and maybe they can buy us all a beer with the new discount.
That's right. John Glennon from NHL.com on with us here on Robbie and Rex. So, John, switching back to the Predators, it seems like Philip Tomasino is in their plans to be a top six forward, which I have no problem with. I guess my question for you is, do you think that he's ready to be a top six forward based on what you saw in year one from him on a full-time basis?
Yeah, I think he is certainly moving in the right direction. I think that potential looks like it's going to be realized at some point, you know, whereas you take a look maybe at an Elie Tolvanen and you're not that sure, you know, because again, he seems like a guy who has stalled a bit, and you're not sure how well he'll be moving up. But Tomasino's going to get there. Yeah, I think it's just a question of whether it's this coming year or next. You know, I think he's certainly proven that he can score goals, that he can make a difference offensively. And, you know, I think he's turning into a pretty solid all-around player as well. But, you know, maybe just the kind of the physical demands of the game as well. Maybe we'll see another year kind of growth for Philip Tomasino in that direction. You know, a guy, you know, that comes to mind also, obviously, I guess, Tanner Janot, you know, is it time? You know, we've probably asked this question a few times last season or two, you know, is he the kind of guy that maybe he gets a top six shot here at some point? You know, I know certainly John Hines and the Predators love that herd line and the mentality that it brings to the team, but, you know, could a guy like Tanner Janot, who scored, you know, over 20 goals last year, you know, in that role, what might he get if he's getting top six situation? So, you know, certainly there are some intriguing options right now in terms of that top six for the Preds.
I would be curious, John, to hear, you know, how much better you think this team is, because Robbie and I were talking about it earlier in the show that I think some people forget that they did trade for Ryan McDonough, and that makes them better on defense, but their forward group remains a question about whether or not they can get the necessary secondary scoring to be more competitive. So it certainly feels like there is some, I'm not sure exactly what the word is, consternation perhaps among Predators fans in terms of, you know, is this team really that much better than it was at the end of last season? I know that it's an incomplete picture, but based on the roster now, what do you make of it?
Yeah, certainly, I mean, they made their big free agent splash, if you will, by making that trade and picking up Ryan McDonough, you know, at $6 or $7 million for the next 4 years. So, you know, when I look at the Preds' defense as it stands right now, and you're going to have Lozon in there for a full year, you're going to have McDonough in there, I think the decor is noticeably better and deeper than it was last year. And you have to include, of course, Carrier getting better and Fabro, you know, potentially heading in that direction too. Yeah, I think there are still certainly questions because last year you ended with a group that did not have enough secondary scoring below the Forsberg Duchesne level. And what have you done to supplement that? Well, to date, nothing, really. And again, you know, maybe Tomasino is ready to fill one of those roles, but we don't know for sure at this point. Maybe Jeannot is the guy that can step in there, but we don't know that for sure. So I still think, you know, and you know, as great a move as it was, I think, for the Preds to bring back Forsberg, we all know he was there last year, had over 40 goals. You know, and still it was a first-round loss in the playoffs for the Preds. So, yeah, there's still a hole, at least one hole to be filled up there. Whether that is one of the remaining free agents, whether that comes by a trade, I think there is another move to be made. You just have to address the depth, I think, of the top six forwards.
John, last thing for you. Which Columbus contract was more shocking yesterday? Johnny Gaudreau deciding to go to the Blue Jackets or the fact that they gave Eric freaking Gudbranson 4 years and $16 million guaranteed?
That's a legitimate question right there. That is a very good question. But, yeah, certainly the just mind-blowing to me was the Johnny Gaudreau. I mean, it was – interesting. I read some of his comments. You know, Aaron Porchline had a story late last night in The Athletic and quoted Johnny Gaudreau. And you know, it was interesting to hear, you know, Johnny Gaudreau is just kind of like, hey, I really liked playing over there over the years. It seemed like a fun place, you know, that cannon's loud and there's a lot of enthusiastic fans. Hey, woohoo, let's do it. And you're kind of scratching your head. I mean, In one way, I think it's great for Columbus. You know, it's a small market team that doesn't usually get the big hits like this. So good for them. And I think it's an underrated city also, Columbus. So good for that. But from Johnny Gaudreau's point of view, this is a team that was 20 points out of the playoffs last year. You know, you're going from a Calgary team that, you know, that finished first in the Pacific, you know, was probably going to be a Stanley Cup contender. And you know, you didn't get close to your hometown, as everyone suspected, whether that would be Philly or New Jersey or the Islanders. So it's a head-scratcher, but, you know, from his quotes, he sounds like a very happy guy, and who wouldn't, you know, with new contract. But good luck to him there. I hope he can lift that franchise, because certainly they're going to have to move a player or two now to make sure he gets in under the cap.
Yeah, maybe he's a big Ohio State fan. Who knows? But congratulations to Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah. Maybe Braves talked him a little bit, you know, leading up to that. We just don't know.
Maybe so. John Glenda from NHL.com, SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rextra. John, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. What do you make of the inactivity from the Preds of NHL free agency? We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to see Roger Waters in concert coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 27th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Roger Waters at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, August 27th, 615-737-1025.
May I interject? before we get going?
You go whatever you say, whatever you want.
I would just like our listeners to know that Michelle just said the egg doesn't fall far from the tree.
Rather than the apple?
Yes. What is this?
Exposed?
What is this that I'm holding up right now?
He took it public, too, didn't he?
What is this?
The apple
this is
does
apple.
Not fall far
where,
from
where
the
do
tree.
Eggs come from? Trees?
Yes.
That's a Kentucky education for you.
Oh, getting out there.
If Rex Road heard that I messed up another saying, he would be livid.
Beside himself.
I will, you know, what's the other one? Nip it in the bud, right? B-U-D, not butt. B-U-T-T.
Correct.
I'll let that one slide, as well as champing at the bit. It's champing, not chomping at the bit. But the egg doesn't fall far from the tree. I can't excuse that. So, sorry.
The grammar police has spoken over here.
I've got an apple here.
It's Friday. Just give me some slack and text line. I know you're about to go
a
off
nice
right
now. A nice honey-crisp apple I've got here.
That's right.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Thanks to John Glennon for offering his thoughts on the Nashville Predators. What has been, in your mind, other than good Branson, because I think we would probably both agree with that, what has been the contract so far, if any, that you've looked at and said, I don't know about that one so far in the league?
Trying to think of anyone who's been drastically overpaid. I think the Vincent Trocheck contract is interesting. What's funny is that he's replacing Andrew Kopp, who signed with the Red Wings, and they both got the same exact cap hit, 5.625, but Kopp signed for 5 years and Trocheck for 7. And I think Trocheck is a good player. I'm not sure he's worth 7 years, but right. That's what happens when you go to free agency. I can't think of one off the top of my head that I'm really, that really made my eyes bulge out. You know, the one team who's had the offseason from hell, in my opinion, other than the Calgary Flames, who just lost Johnny Gaudreau, is the Philadelphia Flyers. I don't know what the hell they're doing. They traded 3 draft picks for Tony DeAngelo and then signed him to, a 2-year, $10 million contract. They signed Nick Deslauriers, who was on Minnesota in the second half of last season. He's basically an enforcer, and they gave him, I think, a 4-year deal.
Yeah.
And then Chuck Fletcher, their GM, was like, yeah, we didn't have enough space to go sign Johnny Gaudreau, who, grew up around here and, grew up being a Flyers fan. And we didn't have enough space because they were unwilling to trade, it's not that they were unwilling to trade James Van Riemsdyk, who has a $7 million cap, but I don't think they were willing to attach any sort of sweetener to it.
No.
What do you think about James Van Riemsdyk as we talked about Killorn, we talked about JT Miller, we talked about Gustav Nyquist. Van Riemsdyk is not the player he once was, and maybe the Flyers will learn the error of their ways and make him available at nothing. Would you take a flyer, no pun intended, on James Van Riemsdyk if that were an option?
I would not. I would probably let that one go. I mean, he's 33 now. He did score 24 goals last year on an awful team, 38 points. I don't know. I watch him play, and I think to myself, can he really create a whole lot on his own? I mean, he'd probably be playing with, I guess, Johansson. So you'd have a nice centerman there with you, so maybe it would work out, but eh. I don't know. He's never really done it for me.
Yeah. I mean, he's had some good seasons, but, he's never really been he's never really been a guy that I look at and go, that's a guy that I would want on my team.
So, I'll put it to you this way. I would rather see them go get Nyquist for his cap hit than Van Riemsdyk for his cap hit.
Which
is, I think Van Riemsdyk, his cap hit is around
$7 million. It's 7.
So, I think I'd pass on that one.
Yeah, me too. Is there anybody on the text line who wants to make fun of Michelle?
Oh, I'm sure there is, but the Wi-Fi is down at the moment. So.
Oh, well, that's helpful. I'm
trying to get the text line back up.
Saved by the Wi-Fi over there.
Saved by the Wi-Fi. No question about it. 615-737.
An egg a day keeps the doctor away, Michelle.
That could be true.
Hey, listen, somebody on the text line is saying the chomping at the bit is not right or something.
It's champing. So. Champing at the bit, not chomping at the bit.
Whatever. Potato, tomato, potato.
How is the text line working for you and not for me?
It's actually tomato, tomato,
is
not tomato, potato.
Is there a one-room difference in the Wi-Fi right now? What in the world's going on
Do you know
here?
Any sayings?
Listen, I make up my own. Mm. It's my world, right?
Now, Chase McCabe didn't fix the microphone last week for Joe Dubin, and now the Wi-Fi is broken in here and not in there in Michelle's room. This is unbelievable. She's got the text line, I have no say.
Someone
whatsoever.
Said, do eggs grow on trees in Lexington? Sure,
well,
they do, sure.
maybe they do. It's like the time you called Lexington Lexingville. There's that, too.
Listen, I have some extreme word vomit on the show. And that's a text line in the background. Hey, keeping.
That's why we love you, though. It's good stuff on the program. But no, I would not take James Van Riemsdyk. I would, if I'm the Predators, I'm exhausting.
Every other option first.
I'm exhausting all options that are reasonable for JT Miller. Like I think you need, if it's going to be a one-year deal and you're going to have the cap hit freed up next year anyway, without giving up just a stupid amount of assets. Like, if you're going to get a guy in here on a one-year deal, then get a bona fide guy in here on a one-year deal. That's what made Pacioretty so interesting to me. That's what makes JT Miller interesting to me. Like, if you know it's going to be a one-year deal, then, you know, if it's Nyquist or Killorn, I mean, they're good players and they would help. But get somebody who can really help if it's going to be a one-year deal and the cost is not that expensive. So if I'm the Predators, I think I'm exhausting every conceivable option to get JT Miller that you find to be reasonable and within your capabilities of doing. I'm not saying that you need to mortgage the future, because I don't think the Predators are in a spot to do that right now, but I'm trying to get JT Miller. That's my target if I'm the Predators right now.
Yeah, I could get behind that. I think he helps, and you'd feel a lot better about where you are as a team if you had a player who just scored 99 points on your second line. So,
coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road on 1025, 1063, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Today will be the Rob Rant.
No, this is a
Chicago Bears Vingen.
I don't know.
Bear down, Chicago Bears.
Hey, what came first, the chicken or the apple?
They apparently play this when the Bears score a touchdown.
So that means
probably why I've never heard it. Because that doesn't happen very often.
No,
God, they're going to suck this year.
No faith
they're
in Justin
gonna be
Fields.
So bad.
They are going to be really bad this year, but I know you're a Packers fan, so I had to.
Yeah, I hadn't heard a whole lot of that. The last few years. Mm. And by the last few, I mean 25, 30. A long time.
They scored touchdowns.
Aaron Rodgers only got one Super Bowl, though, baby.
That's one more than the Bears have in that time. So, oh, good gracious, that song. I'd totally forgotten about that. And Michelle was like, hey, I got something for you coming back here in just a second. Good stuff there. All right, my rant of the day is the adult league softball player that is that guy. It takes things way too seriously. Now, let me first start off by saying this. I will fully admit that there have been times, too many times, throughout the course of my young life so far, where I have been probably way too competitive in a setting that does not require you to be that competitive. Like, it's not Major League Baseball. It's not, you know, the NFL out there. I'm not getting paid, really, at this point in my career of softball. And I love how I just called it a career. This point in my softball playing days, the goal is basically to go out there and not get hurt. Like, if I can get through a game or a doubleheader without sustaining an injury of some kind, generally speaking, it's a win for me. But there are those people, and you run into him, and it feels like there's usually at least one
Rex
on every team. It could be Rex Road, but there's at least one on every team that thinks it's like game seven of the World Series out there. And I have no problem with players, you know, showing effort and trying their best. If you want to slide, knock yourself out. You're not going to see me slide in an adult league softball game. If you want to dive and lay out in the outfield for the ball, knock yourself out. I might be able to do that once in a while and try to make a catch. But if you're up there like screaming at every single close call or barking back and forth with the other team because you're like talking trash in slow pitch softball because you hit the ball, which by the way, if you don't hit the ball in slow pitch softball, what are you doing out there? You're literally lofting it up to the players for you to hit. So like talking trash to the pitcher is always amazing to me that happens. Just chill, dude. There's always, and sometimes it's, you know, it's rec league basketball. There's some interesting kickball leagues around here that I've found that are pretty fun. Whatever sports you want to throw out there, there's always that guy or that girl. And Michelle's laughing because it kind of feels like maybe she is that girl.
I am not that girl.
But mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, Robbie, you missed this pickup game. We went and played pickup with Rex Road.
Oh, God.
And I thought that Brennan was also there, his son. But we just find Joe at this park just with random people. So we go, you know, check ourselves in. I'm the only girl, which I don't have a problem with. You know, sure. I like playing some pickup basketball. But this random guy who's probably got about 70 pounds on me straight up is just like checking me and like elbowed me in the face. And I'm like,
just really getting after it, huh?
Like trying to get a rebound. And I'm like, okay, I'm not really trying to break my nose or something. And then also Rex Road, I'm totally calling you out right here.
Oh boy.
Tried to be a little Magic Johnson for a second, threw a no-look pass and just bounced it off my face and my head like slammed backwards. I'm like, okay, I'm checking myself out. I'm like, okay, Rex, I got to produce the radio show in the morning.
Potential concussion yes. That has taken place over
whiplash.
Here.
Rex Road's definitely that guy like in Along Came Polly, where he's got the Rex specs on,
and
the headband on, and the tube socks on.
They go up to your knees, yeah.
Yeah, and he's out there trying to do some Showtime Lakers nonsense.
He's good, though. Like, he can really play, but it
I'm
does
sure he
scare
can.
Me. It scares me.
No, Rex Road would certainly Rex Road certainly comes from the no blood, no foul line of pickup basketball. I haven't played basketball with Joe yet, but I imagine he's throwing them bows.
When I come in with a broken nose, you'll know.
Like yeah. Marcia Brady?
She has no clue.
Oh, my God. Stick to your eggs over there, your eggs and your apples. Who doesn't know that? That's a famous television scene from the Brady Bunch where they're tossing the football around and it hits Marcia right in the face and she breaks her nose.
Yeah,
well,
who
now I know.
Born after the year 1990 has watched the Brady Bunch?
I will say I did used to watch some episodes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Michelle was born in like 2002.
I am 90s.
Yes. But
barely.
I say all that to say, like, just calm down a little bit. Look, I could speak for myself here. I'm about to be 30 coming up in September, which
sorry,
I know Rex Road is just laughing at. But you reach a certain age where maybe the competitive juices are still there, but the skills have diminished a little bit. Like, I don't have the same speed. I don't have the same stamina, the same arm strength, really anything I used to have when I was playing baseball on a regular basis. So, like, these people that get out there and think that they're Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite and can throw the ball over the mountains, it's pretty amazing. Like, they just, oh, man, you should see what I'm able to do out here in left center when – my 5.5 40 I can run out there. It's impressive stuff, buddy.
Is he pulling himself out of the batter's box to adjust his gloves?
I haven't seen a ton of that. Like okay. usually in adult league softball, once the batting gloves go on, they typically stay on throughout the at bat, which I appreciate.
My greatest moment of glory in Little League Baseball was I won the game on a walk-off error where I hit a ground ball to third and was chugging my butt down the first baseline, and the throw beat me to the plate, but the first baseman bobbled it. So it was a walk-off error.
Claim to fame.
Yeah.
Claim to fame.
That's it. That's it. Baseball and I
don't
get
along. That was
your
Uncle Rico moment.
Yes. That was my Uncle Rico moment. There's no video footage of that, so you'll just have to take my word for it.
I'm trying to figure out which sport is the worst. Like, I think it is softball. Like, I think adult league softball is the worst for the guy or girl coming in there that is just
about flag
trying
football.
To hotshot. Like, you see it every now and then in flag football. I mean, I think basketball is probably the other one that I'd put up there.
There are some intense games at my YMCA.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there are some intense games. There was some guy yesterday when I was walking by the court that was doing, like, no look behind the back passes on the fast break.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that's cool, man. It was not Rex Road. Yeah. He had too much hair to be Rex Road.
Yeah.
Though I can't talk about having too much hair. So, yeah, I've always find it interesting when people take intramural sports so seriously. I feel like volleyball is not one that people take a whole lot seriously. I feel like that's a pretty chill sport.
Yeah. And look, I will say there have been times – that especially when it comes to officiating, I'll run my mouth a little bit. Like, I fully admit that. There are some times where that happens, where I will say some things. Now, the good news now is, like, in the softball league I play with, I'm friends with the umpires. So even if they screw something up, I'm a little bit less, you know, I guess direct now in terms of, man, what are you doing out there? That's a horrible call. I used to just let things fly, but I've calmed down a little bit as I've gotten older. So I guess you can make an argument. Maybe I used to be that guy.
Maybe
so now we
did.
Know why you're friends with the umps, so that you can get some extra calls, well, Bobby Stanley.
Well, maybe.
I was as
it hasn't worked so far.
As just a part-time gig to make beer money in college, I worked as a intramural basketball referee at my college, and you know, man, those people took it so seriously. I was like, guys. We don't really – this is not an athletic university.
You know?
So just have fun out there.
I don't think – I've thought about this before. Like, would I ever consider umpiring or reffing a basketball game or, I don't know, being a linesman in hockey? And I pretty much determined that the answer is no, because not only the people on the court or the field or the ice or whatever, like the parents too. Like, I don't think I could do it. I think I would throw everybody out of the game almost immediately.
Yeah. Well, you might have your moment of fame if Clay Travis yells at you for throwing his kid out. So.
Could be that. Who knows?
It could happen.
So. I don't think the days of me umpire are going to come across anytime soon. This has been the Rob Rant. You can check out our rants every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans with training camp just a couple of weeks away now. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.